When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 696, Friendless Edition of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today remotely by James Dean Rader and Ben Funky Askren. JD did not make his bed, officially. We have the proof. It's right behind him. It's an unmade bed.
I'm in a hotel. You know, people make it for you.
Oh, wow. What a flex.
Smart guy. Smart guy right there.
Smart guy, yeah.
It's a waste of effort. Work smarter, not harder.
Okay, there you go. The lessons of a true coach. Ben, do you make your bed?
Hell no, that's a waste of time.
I kind of agree. I don't.
It really is. You're just going to get it messed up again. I mean, literally, what are you doing? I don't know what y'all do in your bed. I lift up the sheets. I get in my bed. I go to sleep. I lift up the sheets. I get out of the bed. I mean, it's not that, you know, it's whatever. Then I could do something the next night.
Yeah, there's other stuff, but, you know, I don't make my bed. I think it's always
children friendly program files. Yeah.
I don't know what you're referring to.
There's that one military guy who gave the speech at Texas that, like, his whole thing was make your bed first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
So you start off on the right foot. And worst comes to worst, you come home, you have a bad day, but you may have a nicely made bed.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything for me. Getting in a made bed does just, there's no, I don't see the benefit of that.
I honestly see that guy's point about, like, starting the day off by accomplishing something and doing something well. I totally get it. Listen, I got a big list of stuff. I crush stuff every single day. I'm going to get some stuff done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go sit on my couch and do nothing. So I do not have an issue with that one. I hop out of bed, start attacking the day.
It's kind of a low bar if a win is making your bed. It's like, wow, I got that done. It's like, man, the bar's pretty low for an accomplishment.
That's the thought process. That is the thought process.
Yeah, yeah. So JD's not here because he wanted to stay at a fancy hotel and not make his bed because it's Who's Number One week, and JD's there on location. He and Spay got up there early.
Wait. And why did he need to go to Dallas early? It's only like an hour away.
Well, it's 3 hours away, and who knows?
It's three.
We have press conference.
JD's probably got a girlfriend in Dallas or something.
JD's got a girlfriend here.
The back of the screen.
We'll get JD in trouble. JD's got a girlfriend in Austin.
Hey, I have no comment on that. But no, if I was in Austin this morning, I wouldn't be able to make it to weigh-ins and whatnot and press conference if I wanted to do the show.
So give the rundown of the schedule, because it's a different kind of Who's Number One this year.
That's right. So the day before, we have a full woman's lineup now. So it'll be girls on Friday night, boys on Saturday night.
So we're going to have press conferences the day before.
Weigh-ins go down here in a couple hours for the girls, and followed shortly by the press conference, which will be early this afternoon.
We had a couple changes to the lineup. One, Kylie Welker sort of made the world team. So this is a Who's Number One first. First person to have to withdraw from Who's Number One because they made the world team 1 week prior.
That's funny.
That is pretty funny. That has never happened before. And not just any world team, the one, the senior world team.
Well, she made all the world teams.
She made all world teams. If there's veterans.
That will probably never be done again, actually.
She made junior, U23, and senior.
Not the cadet. Oh, U23. I was saying cadet. I'm like, because if she was cadet eligible, she would be senior eligible.
She's trying to go 3-for-3 on titles, too. She's got the first one.
Oh. Yeah, got the junior.
What, U23 hasn't happened yet?
November.
Yeah, first week of November.
Got it.
So that's an exciting change there. And was she replaced by Rose Cassiope? Is that right?
That is correct. And shout out to Rose Cassiope because she took this match on 2 days' notice, just finalized it, got her travel and everything yesterday. So she'll be taking on Lillian Freitas. It's a rematch from Women's Nationals, Freitas won that in two matches. They met in the finals. But maybe this time will be different.
I like that JD says women's instead of, like, the word women doesn't exist. That's one of my favorite parts of JD so far this show. Now, Rose Cassiope, relation to Big Tone?
Yeah, it's a sister, right?
Sister.
Oh, my gracious.
Yeah. They got a lot of kids in that family. They got a lot of kids. I know they have, they got two more, at least two more little ones, but I think there might be three more little ones.
Dang.
Also, during this process, I found out that Tony is actually Anthony Jr.
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay, well, he's turned out a lot better than Anthony Jr. Soprano, because that kid was terrible.
Correct.
You got to watch The Sopranos, Ben. But yeah, terrible kid.
I've never seen that.
Very bad kid.
Hey, you know the movie, the show I do watch? I watch Billions. It's a good show.
You know, I just started it. Well, I just started it. I think I'm in season two or three now at this point. But John Danaher, I was like freaking out. He's like has a cameo in several episodes. I was like,
Katie. No Regrets just had an appearance in the last episode.
I heard that. It's like people I know are on a show. I heard Jocko had a cameo.
Not really? I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Yep, I remember that one.
According to my brother, who's not a liar.
Yeah, you're right.
So, okay, I'm having a hard time staying on topic here. I apologize. So, women's goes down Friday, September 17th, which is Friday of this week. Mm-hmm. 6 p.m. Central, so that's 7 Eastern start time, I do believe. And the boys will go down Saturday, September 18th, also at 6 Central, 7 Eastern. Very excited. JD, some of the matches you're most interested in, maybe under the radar matches, like everyone knows Christian Carroll, Nick Feldman is going to be fire. Everyone knows what Jesse Mendez is going to bring to the table. What are some of the under the radar matches you're most excited about?
On the women's side of things, it's probably Destiny Rodriguez versus Jasmine Robinson. Jasmine Robinson, she kind of was the breakout star of Fargo. She was the Texas girl that was
fighting
everybody. She was kind of under the radar because she took third at Women's Nationals, but she only lost to Amit Ellor, who is obviously one of the best pound-for-pound girls in the country. She's taking on Destiny Rodriguez, who's a two-time Fargo champ herself. So that one's definitely kind of like my not main event match I'm looking forward to the most on the women's card. On the boys' side of things, I think it's going to be this whole match is stacked top to bottom. But probably the two kind of in the middle, 106 and 152, Little versus Knox. They're the six-pounders, and Jordan Williams versus Caleb Henson at 52. Jordan Williams has just continued to get bigger and bigger. I think he won his first Fargo title at 113. And is now wrestling 152, was 120 like 2 years ago. That match is going to be probably super close. And when in close matches, Jordan Williams somehow finds a way to win. Yeah, he's the Iceman. Beat Caleb Bradshaw in the Fargo finals with literally less than a second on a crotch lift. Knox and Lilidol, two young guys, but they've been on the scene for a long time. Like we're making Super 32 middle school finals. And now Lilidol went on to win Cadet World Silver this summer. Knox won Fargo. So that'll be a lot of fun as well. Another one I think will be very close.
Yeah, I like Knox a lot. And Lilidol, he impressed me so much at Cadet Worlds. Great motor, a little savage. I think that's going to be an awesome match. And talk a little about the 174 man we've got going, because we had a little change to that, right?
Oh, it changed.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes. Braden Thompson had to step in, but that's okay because it'll be Rocco Welsh versus Manny Rojas first, and then Gabe Arnold versus Braden Thompson. Thompson and Rojas met in the Fargo finals, the junior Fargo finals, and Rojas won that one in a close one. Gabe Arnold won Cadet Fargo 170, and Welsh took third at 170 at the weight Arnold won. So everyone kind of has an argument.
Rowley dropped out then?
Yes. He got injured.
Got it.
Also, news literally just this morning, Karina Blades injured her shoulder and will not be wrestling. Unfortunately, she was supposed to take on Savannah Gomez. So she had to withdraw. Apparently was literally like working out at the airport and hurt it. It's the same shoulder she hurt at Junior Worlds.
Out at the airport.
Yeah, I don't know if she missed a flight or something, or what, or there was some issues there. But yeah, she was, and I know she was not happy about it. She's tough. She battled through that hurt shoulder and won Junior World Bronze and decided she was good enough to go. And I don't know what exactly happened, but apparently she re-aggravated it and will not be competing.
All right, I want to talk about this big man super match, Christian Carroll, Nick Feldman. Ben, you've watched some of each of these guys. What do you think about this matchup? Who would be the favorite in your eyes?
Yeah, I think Feldman's the favorite. I watched him, obviously, who's number one last year. He looked really, really good. You know, Carroll's coming on strong, but Carroll wasn't quite the standout he was a couple years back. So I'm curious to see if he's made up that ground. And I think, man, last year Feldman, he felt like he was like far and away number one. So to see someone catch him would be really fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
Carroll's
know.
Good. Yeah, don't go sleep ahead. On Carroll. He just won Fargo.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I saw it.
Who's he? I mean, he really, his research or his emergence, I guess you could say, was really Super 32 last year. So like a year ago is when he kind of, when he really caught our eye. And now, I don't know.
He
I
was
think
hurt. He was hurt his like entire freshman year, basically missed the whole thing.
Was that a sophomore year?
He was a sophomore.
Last year was his sophomore year.
Got it. Sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think I do. I agree with Ben, all things considered, that Feldman is probably the favorite. I think from a technical standpoint, he's pretty supremely advanced for anyone in this field. I think there's a couple guys that are like clearly college ready right now. All of these guys have great potential for collegiate wrestling. I think Jesse Mendez is a very obvious. He's our pound for pound number one for a reason. But Feldman, I think, is someone who could. I could easily see someone like Nick going in and wrestling year one right away if he's big enough to wrestle heavyweight and be just fine. And even if he's not, even if he's like 230, I think he'll be pretty interesting.
230.
The way I look at the big man super match and 138 are pretty similar. The things that make Nick Feldman so great and Jesse Mendez so great are the things that also make Christian Carroll and Casey Swiderski so great, except they're just half a step better, a couple more big wins, a little more credentialed. Like Nick Feldman, he's a big dude, but super athletic, high motor, is going to shoot a lot. Same as Christian Carroll. Feldman is just going to have a, albeit very small, size advantage, but he will have a size advantage. Jesse Mendez, like the things that make him so great, the motor, the technique, he's something just like savage mentality.
Yeah.
Casey Swiderski, all those things as well, but Mendez is just has been a half a tick better at those things.
So an exciting week here at Flow. Excited for who's number one to get going, and we'll have the press conference and weigh-ins today for the ladies. So hope that you will tune in as you have in the past. Last year was awesome. I think this year's going to be even better. Other news, big news, the Big Ten schedule is out. Great excitement, great joy. Ben, have you got to take a look at this yet?
I know I saw Penn State, Iowa on January 28th in Iowa. I'm try to put that one on my calendar. That looks fun. I didn't memorize the whole schedule, but I looked at Wisconsin, I looked at Penn State, I looked at Iowa. So yeah, took a few peeks.
Yeah, Penn State at Iowa, January 28th, basically the same weekend they had it 2 years ago when they wrestled. We were there, Ben, you and I. We had all kinds of Casey's Pizza, and then we went and we called the match. It was very fun.
That was hilarious.
That was funny. Iowa gets kind of the back-to-back duels in Carver-Hawkeye against Penn State, which is pretty nice. I'm trying to think the last time. Was it when Marinelli put Chinzo on his back? The last time they wrestled at Penn State, I'm trying to recall.
When they were at Iowa, Kemmerer had upset Mark Hall, and that was, I mean, the duel was really competitive, and Kemmerer upset Mark Hall, and that was kind of what put Iowa over the edge.
Right. That was very close, very close duel, and it looked like, when Roman got the injury default over DeSanto, that was like a huge, huge turning point in that match. But then Big Tone mm-hmm. got it done. Great match. Great duel. Some other really fun duels. Minnesota at Iowa, just to kick off the Big Ten season is awesome. We'll get presumably. Well, I doubt we'll see Gable miss this one.
Someone told me Minnesota's first match at home is Oklahoma State. Ferrari, come on, bump up, dude. This would be so exciting.
Oh my Let's gosh! Do it. Why would he come do up, that?
Why not, Chris? Because why not?
Because why? Because you're
who's he gonna wrestle 197? It's gonna be boring. Come on.
Listen, it would be a huge, huge mistake and miscalculation if he went up to wrestle Gable.
You're scared. You're scared. Listen to you. I'm not scared. Let's do this.
I mean, all right. Listen, if I could choose just what would happen, but my question is, if I'm AJ Ferrari, why on earth would I do such a thing? It's preposterous.
I don't know. Seems like fun. I think we
should do it. He should do it. Okay, so
maybe his first weigh-in, so he weighed at like 220. We'll call it a fair deal.
220. The descent plans are insane. If he weighed in at 220, it would be like probably very literally stupid. Months before he'd be able to go down.
Stupid descent plans.
Descent plans. You get John.
You weigh in at 220. You get John W. to say, hey, he weighed in at 202.
AJ,
there you go. Minnesota would agree to that. I would. Yeah, Minnesota would agree to that. It looks like 202 just got the numbers backwards a little
bit. Yeah, they flipped them. Why'd you flip the numbers? Pay attention. Yeah, that would be one thing. The descent plans are the stupidest. You know, there's a lot of stupidest things, but the descent plans are really nonsensical because, like these guys aren't 10 pounds over or 8 pounds over, like, you know, one day after the weigh-in. It's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Ben, do you like the way 1FC kind of does their – weigh-ins and hydration tests and stuff to try and eliminate some of that cutting weight?
It's the most fair, but I don't know how you do it on a large scale. So, like, for example, say like a Fargo, how are you gonna p-test 4,000 people? It's impossible, right? You know what I'm saying? So you could probably do it, you know, at smaller, really prestigious tournaments, but doing it across the board would be impossible. If you're not gonna do it everywhere, then why would you do it, type of thing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If there was somehow a way they could like touch your arm with something, you know, and tell how hydrated you were, that would probably be the most ideal. But I don't believe we have that technology to this point.
Dare to dream. Maybe one day.
Yeah. I'll make it.
Yeah.
So looking at some of the home schedules, Penn State will have Indiana, Rutgers, Ohio State, and Nebraska at home. Iowa, they'll have Minnesota, which will be wild. I mean, Gable... Last time, that was when Gable Cassiope happened, and Gable, I think, he gave up like a couple penalty points at the end there, and it made it actually look like it was a close match, but it wasn't really.
I hope. Yeah. Sorry to the Cassiopes here in Dallas. If you're watching, I'll apologize later. But I hope Gable comes out, pins him, and goes like full WWE heel partying like on the crowd in Carver.
You cannot rule that out. You cannot rule that out.
Well, but is that duel going to be that competitive?
No, but, you know, Minnesota's got some competitive, they've right? got some scrappers. I mean, normally you'd be excited to watch Patrick McKee, but he's going to be going up against Spencer. Well, maybe, presumably. I don't know. Wonder how much we'll see Spencer this year.
You think McKee might move up? Too. Well, who are they talking about? Was there someone else they're talking about throwing in there? I feel like maybe I'm totally... Oh, no, Matt Ramos moved, right? Or transferred?
He transferred. I assume he moved, too.
Brayton Lee, Caleb Young would be fun.
Yeah. Actually, last time it was not fun. They did wrestle each other, but it was a...
I should just say close.
Competitive. Competitive. Say that.
Yes, competitive.
Yeah, that's Ben's word. Competitive. So Iowa will have Minnesota, Purdue, Penn State, and Wisconsin at home. That's pretty solid. Home slate in Carver Hawkeye Arena. And Ohio State, let's see who they got going. Oh, I also have, this is pretty interesting. They've got Michigan. Are they wrestling Michigan twice? Iowa, Maryland, and Indiana at home.
Nice.
That'll be good. Michigan. Yeah, I don't, there may be a typo in this in the schedule. Cause
I think they're not supposed to wrestle someone twice. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, because it has TBD, Ohio State. Oh, that's Michigan State. Excuse me. That's a Big Ten team as well. I don't know why that's a TBD 7th or 9th. But anyway.
So I don't recall who I was looking at, Christian, but one of them had an open on the schedule. So it looks like those will be happening again. Maybe it's Minnesota's schedule. They had the Daktronics or
something. Clarion Open, yep. That's going to be going on. One good awesome. Thing I learned today is, because we had an actual FRL question about this, will they have the extra matches around the duels like they did last year? And it sounds like there will be some version of that next year. So that's cool. That was
just
because like
people liked it, or
I think because it just makes sense. Because why not? Why you got all these red shirts? But all these guys have, or not even red shirts, just backups.
It'll be red shirts, or it'll be non-starters, because red shirts still can't travel technically, right, for matches.
You can't. They can. They can travel.
Not with the team.
They could travel with the team for non-competition purposes. Like, you could bring them along as a camera person. But, unless the rules changed, you couldn't bring them along for competition's sake.
No, that's...
That was the rule. You cannot travel for competition's sake. Yes,
I don't think so, man. I think...
I passed 4 NCAA rules tests in my 4 seasons as a college coach, Chris. How many of them tests did you pass?
I had 5, actually. So I've got you beat. No, but remember, there's the red shirts are always traveling. Like, some true freshmen, before their red shirts are pulled, are like traveling around. Like, Mark Hall was going to several dual
Not
meets.
Not to compete.
But he didn't compete, watch. but he
Correct.
But he could have competed, and he did eventually compete.
You're not allowed to travel for competition with your team. That was the
Yeah, I don't think you are. A lot of times, like, I don't. Red shirts have to, like, drive themselves to open and stuff.
Yes, they have to drive themselves to open. Take them with your team to, like, be a cameraman or a workout partner or that type of stuff.
There are great areas. Yeah, but I think the, like,
which is really weird, because then, like, in the spring, they could pay for your travel, say, to the UWW junior trials or something to that effect. But during the college season, they are not allowed to pay for your travel for competition's sake.
I'm going to try to get this information, because I'm pretty sure they can travel. Not all of them, but I don't know. I think there's some scenario where
you're really good.
Dylan alleges it changed in 2017, but I don't know who Dylan is, so we don't know if he's right or not.
I believe Dylan. Dylan's right. Okay. Maybe we'll get a little more information.
No, extra matches are great, though.
Yes,
I mean, even without the red shirts, Christian, there'd be a bunch of good matches with, you know, a couple non-starters, throw them in there for a few extra matches.
Yes. I think it's good. I think it makes sense, and have a little undercard type of deal. I think that's what some are thinking, like an hour before the duel start, weigh those guys in earlier. Mm-hmm. I know one team's considering that. Good stuff. Do you want to listen to some of these user submitted questions, JD? We had a couple of them that look pretty good.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's get to them.
All right, let's start with Jake from Washington, D.C., from the Swamp. Swamp Jake, we call him.
Hi, this is Jake from Washington, D.C., calling in with a question. I totally messed up my last submission and tripped over my words, so here's a go for round 2. My question is related to revisiting the Kyle Dake-David Taylor rivalry. Since David Taylor won an Olympic gold medal and Kyle Dake only bronzed, can we say now that David Taylor has surpassed Kyle Dake in their rivalry, or is that still not the case because Kyle Dake has beaten them in all of their matchups up to this point? Anyways, thanks for... taking my call.
So that's a good question, because this is, I mean, good I was question. Definitely thinking about the Dake Taylor rivalry as the Olympics unfolded. And, you know, we all thought they were both going to win the Olympics together. And David winning gold and Kyle winning bronze sort of, you know, shifts things a little bit. And I don't know how it changes it. I mean, I think there's two different things. It's like, if you're just like comparing careers, the fact that David has an Olympic gold medal and Kyle doesn't is probably something that would make him surpass Kyle. But if you're saying, hey, they're going to wrestle each other, I'm not as sure there. Even as great as Kyle or as David is, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but my thing would be like, is there, they're not the same weight class anymore. It doesn't feel as though there's a rivalry. They don't act as though there's a rivalry. The rivalry to me feels like something as of the past. Now, I mean, I see them more as friends and training partners than rivals.
Well, sure, but
it's not like I view Kyle Dake and Jordan Burroughs. Like, that's a freaking rivalry right there. Those dudes don't like each other. Kyle Dake and David Taylor, I don't feel the same way about them.
It's because we know they will probably never compete again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, unlikely. Yeah, I don't think they'll, certainly not to make a world or Olympic team, but you know, they were I mean, Kyle Dake bumped up to his weight in at 86 in 2016, so the rivalry was there. Everyone knew they were friends, right? Even going back to, that was like a big narrative going into their NCAA final, like Dake and Taylor are like been friends since
we
kids.
We made a film about it.
Yes, we did. Please check it out if you haven't already.
Did you guys make a film about that or something?
My greatest rival.
My best rival. Best rival.
My best rival.
So I don't know. I don't know if he surpassed. I'm more interested in talking about what would happen if they wrestled. Because it's one of those things where the matchup has always basically gone Kyle Dake's way. And even at 86, when Kyle was bumping up, he beat David, but that was before David went on his run. And even then, those matches were close. So how do we think it goes now? Is David too big, too good for Kyle? Or can Kyle just be the great neutralizer? This is a guy that was right there against Jaden Cox. He took a match from Jaden.
Yeah. Yes. So if I have to bet this match, I'm going to pick David Taylor, and I'm just going to be nervous about it.
Yeah. Super nervous. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this?
I don't really view them as rivals.
Give Kyle Dake like 8 months to go full feed and bulk up to 86.
And maybe we make David go down a little bit. Maybe David goes down like 82.
All right. Here's my.
He's huge now.
Here's the case for Kyle Dake, and I think it's pretty. I think there's two things you can say. One, the matchup has just historically favored him. Two. Several months before David won an Olympic title, Jordan Burroughs went 4-4 with him. And then Kyle Dake beat Jordan Burroughs in two matches, two straight matches.
He also went 1 point with Gabe Dean.
Who did? David?
David Taylor.
Yes, he did.
And it was very close.
It was three, I think. It was one late. I think it was a one.
No, it was four. It was four because it was 4-2, and then it went 6-2 on that last scramble.
He got the counter takedown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, so, man, I sincerely think it's still a competitive match. Maybe it's not. Maybe David is just so far and away beyond him. And it's one of those things
There's no way I don't see it being competitive, Christian. There's no way. David Taylor just can't do David Taylor things to Kyle Dake because Kyle Dake is Kyle Dake, and he never has been able to ever.
Yeah, if there were a gun to my head, I don't know what I would pick. Actually, I think I would pick Kyle, as crazy as that sounds. And it's an interesting thing because I don't think or know that.
Well, you picking Kyle? For real? God, maybe. You're picking Kyle.
In a fake match, I mean, I might. one thing I'm thinking.
Wow. Awesome.
One thing I'm wondering is, how would Kyle have done up at 86? Like, he could beat David. Well, could he have won the Olympics? I don't know. But basically, we're just asking, can he beat Yazdani? What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Completely separate topic, but how do you think that match would have gone?
I mean, honestly, 86 is not great. I feel pretty comfortable saying Kyle would contend for a medal. Him versus Amin is a very competitive match.
Oh, I think he beats Amin, no question.
Okay.
Deepak.
Man,
Shakur.
I don't know. I'm still going back to the thing. He's gonna beat Deepak. Let's get down with that. That's for sure. I'm picking David Taylor still, gun to my head. It's going to be competitive, and I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm picking David.
Yeah. I was kind of team David.
I pick Yazdani? That's a hard one right there.
I don't know how that matchup goes. Is that a terrible matchup? I don't matchup know how it goes either. Or a great one? I don't even great. Know. Normally you can kind of like figure out, okay, yeah, Yazdani is just. They kind of broke the mold with him. There's not many like him, and I don't think Kyle's ever faced anyone quite like him. I sort of like how have we ever seen Kyle pushed around the mat?
Never.
I mean, ever? I can't. I mean, I've seen him get shot. You know, I've seen Burrows, you know, kind of overwhelm him with attacks and stuff and run through him. But as far as like moving with him, even at 86, Jaden wasn't, not that Jaden's the guy that'll get underhooks and move you around, but he wrestled a lot of guys at 86 and they couldn't do that to him.
Yeah.
So part of me is just like, I don't. But then again, there's only one Yazdani. I haven't really seen anything like him and from a hand fighting perspective. Oh, it's kind of fun to talk about. Dake Taylor always produced some interesting conversation. And I think Kyle would be obviously a factor at 86 as evidenced by how well he did. I mean, he jumped from 16 to 17 to what he became in 18, 19, 20. It was like he jumped levels from there. And even then, he was toe-to-toe with an Olympic bronze medalist, Jaden Cox, and beat David Taylor. So how good he is. What an era we're living in for wrestling legends.
I agree.
It's so insane.
Honestly, the fact that both David and Kyle were so good and have clearly continued to get so much better in the past 3 years is ridiculous.
It is. Now, here's a question for Ben. What areas of David Taylor's wrestling has he – because there's a lot of areas where I think he's really, really improved. What areas of David Taylor's wrestling – do you think help him the most, where he's improved, will help him the most if he were to wrestle Kyle again?
So I don't think his stylistically, I don't really believe he's changed all that much. I think he's been kind of tightening up and getting a little better. Obviously, added power has been a huge deal. So I just think that the size discrepancy is much larger than it was in 2016. David's a lot bigger and a lot stronger than he was. And then Kyle obviously is down smaller. And the matches have always been competitive. So it's not like Kyle Dake was that much better than David Taylor. It was competitive and he was just able to win those final scrambles or, you know, the couple takedowns. And so I think instead of the takedowns going Kyle's way, they go David's way this time.
Yeah, I would say his finishing is one area where he's improved the most. And that's one of the areas where Kyle's given him the most or a significant amount of trouble on the finishes. So, fun to talk about. Would love to see the match. I don't know if we'll ever see it again, but if we do, it'd be awesome. Okay, let's listen to our friend from North Dakota because I liked his question as well.
Hello, long-time listener. Never had a Twitter account. But first off, I'd like to say one episode a while back, you guys had talked about funny high school names. I'm from North Dakota. We are the Dickinson Midgets. It has been tried to be changed. The town will not allow it. But at least we're not called like the Dickinson wrestling team or something like that. But the main question is, for Ben, you know, in different episodes past, you've talked about coaching and youth. Growing up in southwestern Pennsylvania, we had huge youth teams, and we always had coaches that were hard on us, and then we also had a coach named Pap. Now, Pap was a coach for the young kids that couldn't handle criticism or shouldn't have, and our coach was really good at that. But as time went on and our team dwindled down and we got into junior high and we lost a lot of kids, there were a lot of great kids that should have been still in wrestling, but they're always the ones with Pap. So at what age, and maybe this is a tough question, but what age or development would you say that you have to start getting harder on kids and pushing them more and not letting them just revert back to a Pap-type coach? Thank you.
So he said the ones that were with Pap were the ones that always quit. Is that what he said? Or the other kids quit?
Yeah, I think the Pap code kids quit.
Okay. Obviously there's more to this scenario. But, I mean, so the ideal scenario, the very ideal scenario, and this has happened with a lot of the kids that we'll just talk specifically about the kids I've coached in Heartland, is that they end up being the ones that are harder themselves. And they, like, the group I have right now is kind of for the first time where I got to kind of get on them a little bit. But the last, say, 3 to 5 years, I just had to show up and show technique. I didn't have to motivate. I didn't have to tell them to get going. They got going themselves. They wanted to be there very badly. We had great leadership. They all worked very hard. And so, you know, if you bring them up to love the sport, they're going to want to do the things that are necessary to be really successful. And that's what we've been able to do with the last group of kids that we've had. And so that, for me, that's the goal, right? So I would say in 7th and 8th grade, if they're not taking those steps, that's where we can start encouraging those steps. Like, let's compete a little more. Let's do the right things to make the right weight classes. Let's work hard in practice. If you want to be good at this, this is what we have to do, type of things, you know? So I think 7th and 8th grade is really where we really start encouraging that type of behavior. And then ideally by high school, they've figured it out. And if not, then we're going to have to pick it up even more.
Yeah. Good stuff there. My son.
I mean, if you look at the talent code,
yeah.
There's a chapter about early coaches, and generally speaking, I can't cite it right now because I haven't read it in many years, but early coaches should be the ones that get them to really enjoy and love the sport, and they're not really busting their butt. And that's, you know, you look at a lot of other sports, like in the early ages, they have like volunteer coaches, you know, like I was at my daughter's mm-hmm. soccer practice. It's like just two parents helping out, you know? And so just getting them to enjoy and love the sport at an early age. And so even though we're highly skilled coaches, we can still try to do the same thing and create the same type of environment. And then, and we know as we get older, we can just pick it up. We don't have to win at age 9. We don't have to win at age 11. When they get to 13, 12, we can pick it up. And obviously some of them will win before that just because they're athletic or they're tough or whatever, but they don't have to win then.
How do you handle the pressure from parents who really want their kids to be excelling now and getting better and maybe want you to actually crack the whip a little more than you are?
Yeah. Well, now it's easy because I just point at the wall and say, look, the record's right there. We already did it. We got a kid who won Junior Worlds. We had a kid who was number one in the country, pound for pound. I mean, we have nothing to prove anymore. We've done it. We have the recipe. In the early days, it would just be like, you know, hey, listen, I was not very good when I was younger, and I was still able to achieve. And we would have, especially in the early days, we'd have kids who came in later, you know, because as freshmen or sophomores who are no good, and then also by the time they're seniors, they're challenging for state titles, you know, with really just 2 or 3 years of kind of good preparation through us. And so it's like we've seen very fast changes. We've seen kids go from not that good to really good really, really, really quickly. We don't need it when they're young. And obviously not all parents will listen to us, and some of the parents burn their kids out. And I think that's really evident to see also, and especially in certain other clubs. You know, I just see it's like these kids are beasts as 8th graders, and then all of a sudden by the time they're sophomores, where the hell are they? You know, they're not competing with anybody because they don't want to be there anymore.
Yeah. What about, okay, let's just change the topic to my son briefly because this kid. Okay, so yeah, I was telling Tyler and JD before the show. All right, so he gets yesterday baseball practice. He gets hit in the face with a ball. His face is all jacked up. His nose is all swollen and stuff. And so I'm like, all right, I guess we got to go. We got to leave. He won't leave the practice. He goes and finishes the practice. And I was like, all right, fine. And then I was like, well, we'll go get it looked at tomorrow. He's furious. We're like, I'm going to take you out of school. I was like, I'm going to do the show. I'm going to pick you up from school. I'm going to take you to the thing to get looked at. He's like, no. He's like, I don't want to miss school. I have a test in the morning. And he's like, he goes, I'm barely keeping up as it is. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He has literally, like, his grades are, like, immaculate right now. So now I'm like, all right.
Well, he's only, like, what is he, like, a 5th grader, 4th grader?
He's a 5th grader. About? He's like, but he's putting all this, like, sort of weird pressure on himself. So what do you do with those kind of kids? Because I'm like.
I think you got to put your foot down sometimes. My daughter is already kind of acting the same way about school. She's really funny about laws. Like, we got home at 3, I took her with me on a trip last weekend. She got home at 12:30 in the airplane. And I'm like, and she was so tired and she wouldn't go to sleep. And then I'm like, hey, Alex, just lay down in the back seat. She's like, but then I won't have my seatbelt on. And that's against the law. I'm like, I'll pay your ticket. Just freaking lay down, please, and go to sleep. And she's like, no, I can't do that.
I'm like, oh, Alex God. Is your oldest, freaking, right?
Lay down. You're not putting your seatbelt on. You're going to go to sleep because you're freaking tired. Yeah. So I always put my foot down and say, listen, dude, I'm your dad. I'm taking you out of school. Deal with it.
Well, yeah, he's going. He's going. Katie's taking him now. But yeah, we do put our foot down. But I'm like, why is she? I don't know. All this kind of
kids are funny, right?
Yeah, they're very freaking funny. He cracks me up. So okay, good stuff there. What about
list of questions? Those were fun.
That was good. That was good. All right, we got some weird ones. This one's not. Well, this one's the Michael Andrews one is not all that weird, but I don't really remember what he's talking about in the beginning of this. Ben May, but go ahead, Tyler.
What's up, FRO crew? This is Michael Andrews, and I got a question for you. But before I do that, I want to give a shout out to Ben for being the only one to believe me when I said you guys accidentally posted the 195 pound bracket draft. Bracket was on me tough, that. Called me a liar. Ben stayed true, paid attention to what I was actually saying in the chat, and had my back. So, Ben, shout out to you for that on top of everything else you've done for the sport. That being said, my question is, let's say the Olympics aren't willing to go 10 weights, but they compromise and we go to 8 weights year-round. What would those weights be, and which weights do you think would be the deepest for the U.S.? For me personally, I would go with 58, 62, 68, 75, 80, 88, 96, and 125. Interested to hear your thoughts, guys. Have a great day.
Okay. Well, what happened there?
I remember that. What's we did up, that. Don't you remember we did that draft bracket and it was so boring? And I'm like, we're not even putting this out. F that. Then, yeah. But then somehow it was like we did it like on a back end channel or something on here on vMix or something, and somehow it went out. It actually went out.
Oh,
and you guys had no idea how it went out.
Oh,
yeah. And then I was like, dude, he knows. He must have known. And you guys were like, no way, he knows. No way. And I'm like,
but then he started saying stuff that I guess only you knew.
You would have known if you were listening.
Yeah. That was funny.
That was funny.
Okay,
so I liked his question. It was interesting. Yeah. But I'm slightly autistic, so one of the things I didn't like, I don't like it when, and this drives me crazy about the UWWs, when there's not a systemized. So he went 68, 75, 80, which there's a 7-kilogram grip and then a 5-kilogram grip. That doesn't make sense if you're going larger, right? You need to keep similar gaps. So I don't mind starting at 58 to fine starting weight. 57 is good too. And then I would just keep the weights similar as we go up. So if we're only in 8 weight classes, you're probably going to go up by like 6-ish. So it's like 57, 63, 69, 75, 81, 87, 93 heavyweight. So something to that effect. So we're going similar weight gaps as we go up.
So the first weight, I think I don't want 58. I think 59 or 60 is like, perfect for
really
weight.
You're going up that high, but man, then I mean, that high, those guys are screwed. Like Spencer Lee, he's too small for that. I mean, I guess if you're doing day of weigh ins, it's better, but if you're doing day before and you're doing 59 or 60,
you think Spencer's screwed at 59 kilograms.
If you go well, if you're going day of, I think it's gonna be all right. If you're going day before, those guys are gonna be way bigger. If he legit only weighs 129 or 130, like he says. And we do day before, and it's 59 or 60. Yeah, he's gonna be way smaller.
All right, two things.
Day of.
Obviously, we're gonna stick with the actual UWW rules of day of 2-hour weigh-ins. 130. 130 is not that. I mean, he's probably going to continue to grow somewhat. And how much time is he dedicated to actually getting? He's a 125 pounder with a 125 Olympic weight class, so it doesn't make a lot of sense for him to attempt to get much bigger. But if it's like, okay, the weight class is 5 pounds higher, you would have to assume that you could make some modifications to your diet and exercise routine and get slightly bigger. It's not like he's going up. It's not like a 74 to 86. I mean, it's like 125 to 130.
I'm just saying he's going to be smaller than some people. But yeah, if we're going day off, he's probably going to be fine.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. And I don't know who gets. So that was going to be my question. My whole point is like, if we go 59.
North Koreans.
Even still, they're all right. They'll be. I mean, when they show up, I mean, they're pretty freaking good. I think they'll have a. I don't think it's wise to make a weight classes with North Koreans in mind. Just cause they're going to have irregular sizes because of their very sad diet.
Yes.
So I think 59 is a good starting point. Now here's a question, a follow up. Would you take 8 weight classes, but 8 weight classes, but it had to be, it was that every year. And there was no more 10, but it was in the Olympics. Or keep the 10 three out of 4 years and then have the 6 for the Olympics.
Man, I feel like 10's the right number.
Me too.
I'm going to keep the 10. I'm going to keep the 10.
I'm going to keep the 10 as well, especially if UWW is going to continue to have world championships even on Olympic years. So then every single year.
Wait. Why would they? They're just doing it this year because it was Olympics was supposed to be last year.
You think?
I don't know.
Historically, they've only done Olympic weights.
Yeah, they've done non-Olympic weights.
Well, historically, there's been one Olympics since they instituted these non-Olympic weights. So
correct.
Really, we're even now.
So every year that there hasn't been the Olympics haven't been postponed, they've only done Olympic weights.
Maybe they just keep postponing it a year. No, I wouldn't be surprised if they keep it. I don't know. That's no inside information whatsoever. But I think it'd be great if they did.
Christian, you got inside information?
I just said I don't. I will now work to secure some inside information. But currently
you get
I have
a board seat on UWW.
I don't think I want it. I don't think I think I'm disqualified. I don't think so. all right. That was good. Hey, apparently
that's good.
Like JD it. Says
also,
that
Aaron Sweezy in the chat asking why freestyle and Greco weights aren't the same. We've said it before.
No idea.
No one knows.
No idea. I actually think I like the freestyle or the Greco weights better.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
Except the 55. I think it's too small.
55's Looney Tunes. I don't like that.
Looney Tunes. Christian, when you say that and when you say 57 is too small, do you realize this? You realize they used to have a 105 Olympic weight class. You realize that, right?
That's a thing. It's just almost unthinkable.
They had 105.
I know they did. I know.
An adult, a grown man.
That's barely a woman's weight anymore, you know?
What is the lowest women's? Is it 48, right?
48?
What's 48? Which is 105, 50. Isn't it? 50. The 50 is 110. Yeah, 50 is the lowest, so they don't have a women's weight that small.
Yeah, crazy.
There was 48 forever, and then it was, I think it was 110, and then 119, and then 114, and then 119. It's been steadily moving up. But the fact that they had 105 at some point was like,
If we still had that weight, Bo Bassett may be a 14-year-old Olympic champion, for all we know.
Well, I think you have to be 18 to enter the competition.
Well, we can fudge that.
I likely think that, well, Russia probably did fudge it. I'm sure we had some world champions who are under the age of 18, because to your point, there's not very many adults that weigh 105 pounds.
I dare say there's not a single wrestler we know that could make on the senior level.
Kurt McHenry, could he make it?
Kurt McHenry, maybe.
I don't know. We haven't seen him. What happened to that dude? He was like a world champ. Now we haven't seen him. Is he really that small?
He's small. He's a small person.
Does he not like it anymore?
He had a
decent or what?
Juniors. He took like fourth.
Maybe juniors.
Juniors.
Yeah.
This year
he might have all his years of eligibility too. By the way,
he was in that loaded weight class.
Really? I don't recall him there. That's
I actually don't either.
He just made that up, JD.
This could be a classic JD makes it up.
No, I'm definitely.
I think this is a JD makes it up.
Wow,
it is. I'm definitely. You didn't make it up. I definitely mixed him up with Matt Ramos.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I don't think he wrestled. Okay, let me just Google it. McHenry. I think Kurt McHenry maybe doesn't like wrestling anymore because I haven't seen him wrestle at anything. And generally, if you like wrestling, you show up at some things.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if
he wrestled two matches last year.
How'd he do?
He wrestled his red shirt year 2 years ago. So he would have all eligibility. His red shirt, he did not compete at all his red shirt year. And then he went 0-2. He lost to Jacob Moran and Malik Heinzelman. So, I mean, but I don't believe he's wrestled in freestyle in either of those years also. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's
Yeah.
So, I would like to see him, but it may be a while. But yeah, here's hoping. He's a Virginian.
You think he's wrestling freestyle and stuff? Let's see. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing on track wrestling from anything after 2019.
Dang. All right.
Yeah.
JD said that Theo Von left a voicemail, but he thinks it's probably not Theo Von.
They said I'm Theo Von, and it was a hilarious voicemail. Theo, if you're listening, I'm sorry it did accidentally get deleted, but you should keep sending it because that was funny.
JD had the voicemail settings to delete after 2 hours.
It wasn't voicemail; it was audio message. They texted it.
Oh, got it. So, send another one, not Theo Von, but calling yourself Theo Von. Okay, next question.
I mean, would we get in trouble if we said this was someone and actually was not that person? Would that be some type of a?
I think as long as you say this person says they're Theo Von, that is true. He says he's Theo Von.
Okay, he does. Okay, and we don't know. We don't know.
Maybe his name really is Theo Von.
Maybe from now on, we should just say that this person says this is their name, even if it's not a famous person. Like, this person says their name's Michael Andrews. We're not verifying anything. That's just his claim. Okay, next question. We'll get to some of the old school questions. This is from Just Want to Ask FRL Questions. What is more likely to happen first? USA women win a world team title or men's freestyle win two in a row?
Well, I think the women could win this year if Japan doesn't bring their ones.
Yes. But
what do you mean yes?
Yes, I mean yes.
You said that very sarcastically.
Not sarcastically. That's not sarcasm. That was I'm a little.
What was that?
I'm unsure. I'm not as confident as you are. Like, yes, it's possible.
Well, I mean, the two in a row for the men, that's really hard because, I mean, and we can't even do it this year because we haven't won one in a row first. So I think the men will likely win this year also. I think they both can win. If the other teams aren't bringing their number ones, which it's very evident now, besides Gable, we're bringing all of our best people. All of our best people are showing up. We are wrestling with our best teams. We're probably going to win.
I agree with it. I think we're more – so here's what I think. I think the men are this year are more likely to win than the women. I think Japan's twos are still super, super good. They have very competitive nationals. It's not like – I don't know. It's not like their ones are just running away with it and stomping the second place. They're deep as well. And like Adeline said, you're like, we can beat their threes, but the twos are a different story.
Usaki, who literally was like the biggest favorite on paper to win the Olympics, almost didn't wrestle at the 2019 Worlds because she didn't win the spot.
Yeah. So there's just an element of just how good is this squad they're going to bring. And there's also the consideration of is this the only shot in the next couple of years where the women will be able to win? I don't know. Like, I'm super bullish on the women's program, and I think it's a matter of time before USA women are the dominant superpower in women's wrestling. But I still think that's where we have this young crop that needs it's going to be maturing over the next 3-4 years.
Well, I just think it's this year. I think their opportunity to win is this year with other teams not bringing their best, and our team we were second place at the Olympics, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think our chance to win is this year, and we only have one.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, I feel, what is next year versus Russia going to look like on the men's side?
What is next year versus Russia?
And how much better are we going to be in a year? How much better can our team really get?
Well, I don't think anyone's retiring, right? Everyone, it feels like everyone on the team, well, Gable obviously hung it up. But everyone else now feels like they're sticking with it for at least another year.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
So we're saying like we are at our best right now. We will not get better, but Russia will get significantly better if they bring back Yugoyev, Sitikov, Rashidov.
Yes, that's what is concerning. But even still, I think our team can go with the Russians next year, but it's going to be substantially more difficult. If Spencer
ends up being super healthy and is a dominant force and can beat out Gilman, then I think there's an opportunity for improvement there. But with Spencer at this point, I'm just like, just need to see it happen before. You can't, like, it's not, certainly nothing you can expect right now with the with his difficulty staying healthy. And then what are other weights we could really get where there's a young up-and-comer or someone that wasn't in the scene this year?
61, 7, 61, 65 are young guys, so I think, you know, their improvement should still be happening, you would think.
Yes.
But as far as besides that, I would not pick anyone to get knocked
Mason
off the team.
I wouldn't pick it, but he could get – he's young. He could get
– Kirkfleet.
Mason Paris. What about Mason Paris?
Kirkfleet.
After what I saw last week, whew, I don't know.
I agree.
Ever
me
again.
Too.
But
I'm with Ben.
If you're looking for a weight or an opportunity.
I mean, maybe 70? Is there next,
yeah, but who,
by next year? No, nobody.
Who could unless our friend Keegan O'Toole can shrink himself and be a 70. He ain't going 70. Get out of your head. And even still, James Green is a bad dude. Yeah, I don't know who's unseating James that is sort of an unknown at this point. So yeah, I think the team, it's going to be pretty similar next year, at least in quality. It's going to be really good. If someone knocks off Dayton or Yanni or whatever, you know, it's going to be about probably a similar level. So, gun to my head, I'll say women win a world team title because two in a row is just really tough.
That's the right answer for sure.
Okay. I don't know that it's for sure. I can't. I don't say it with a degree.
It's definitely the right answer.
Okay. Well, we will find out. One of those things will have to happen at some point.
I feel like this is a pivot on a take from you, Christian.
Yeah, you're right.
Pivot from Christian.
I'm unpivoting. I'm saying it's two in a row.
Oh, hell.
Oh,
Christian.
Okay.
JD's right. JD's right. I was pivoting.
No, I'm saying you were, I feel like, number one, like, our women are going to do it, get it done. Blades is going to win a world title this year and everybody else.
Well,
I think they're winning this
year.
I was
like, slow down, Japan's coming still.
No. Well, that was my take was that Kennedy Blaze was going to win Worlds. Okay, she's not going to win Worlds, at least at the senior level this year. But I said it's only a matter of time before my take has always been this. USA will soon, and by soon I mean the next 10 years, be the dominant force in women's wrestling. Okay, but I think it's going to take 4-ish years before that happens. But then I think we're going to be the number one gold standard. Whereas our men, our men may get to the top spot again. I believe they will this year, and I believe they will several times next one. It's going to be back and forth with Russia for all of time. Whereas I really think we can just be separated and be like men's basketball in the international scene for women's wrestling.
They lost at this Olympics.
They won the Olympics. I was there, not to flex, but they won. They got it all together, and they won the thing. So
hey, who's going to Oslo from Flo? Seems like a tremendous city.
I'm going Mike Mao, nice. John Kozak, Andrew Spey.
What a team!
Our guy Ollie's going to be there, and also
wait. How did Ollie get to go? This is crap. Ollie doesn't get to go unless he comes on the show a little more often.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't make these decisions.
No, I'm restricting his plane ticket unless he visits us at least twice a month.
Ollie, you're on the no fly list. Ollie, I'm sorry. You can come and you can try to get it back, but Ben has pull, and until you convince him you're not a security threat, you can't go. Sorry,
you got to come on the show twice a month.
Yeah, so that would be awesome. So they're all going, and we have a shooter named David Kuhn, who's like an absolute legend. He'll be
related
there.
Related to Adam?
No relation. They could not look more different, I would say, in sizes and in every – yeah, very, very different looking people. And it's spelled differently, too. There's an E at the
end. K-U-H-N or something?
No, I did have a friend with that last name, but it's C-O-O-N-E.
Wow, interesting. Never seen that.
Super interesting. I'm sure people love the spellings of last names. They just find that to be the most engaging of radio topics. So that's who's going. You should go, Ben.
Man, I would love to go to Oslo. I don't think I can swing it, though. I think we have a hammer camp that weekend, and we have an AWA managers meeting on October 8th.
Managers
Oslo,
meeting?
Oslo is, you know where, like, one of my places that I would love to visit the most, and maybe I will go at some point in the future, just not this year, would be that region right there, kind of where Oslo is. So you have a whole bunch of capitals right
Europe?
Next to each other.
Oh.
No, but okay, more specific than Europe, Christian. Very much so. Like, there's all there. It's like Oslo, Copenhagen, Stockholm, Helsinki. They're all on like the Baltic Sea there.
Mm-hmm.
That's like that area. I really love to go to that area more than not just Europe. I'm being very specific about the region in Europe that I do want to go to.
Scandinavia. Yep, I'm excited to go. I've never been to Europe, so should be cool.
Well, I've been to Kiev and Moscow, Minsk. I've been a lot of places in Europe. Been to Barcelona.
Oh yeah, is that nice? Barcelona?
I did the ADCC in 2009. I was in Barcelona. Yeah, it was cool.
I can't believe you did. It's so weird to me you did ADCC.
I did ACC like 9 months after I started training jiu-jitsu. I submitted a black belt first round in 9 months of jiu-jitsu.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I wish you had just done jiu-jitsu throughout, like really dedicated yourself to it. You would have been really good. Yeah. And then maybe you'd be going to ADCC 2022. No, you can't. You should just quit everything and just do it. And then get ready for ADCC 2022.
If I was going to quit everything and do something, it would be disc golf.
Mm.
My body is just not going to withstand hard jiu-jitsu training anymore. So, if I'm going to quit everything, if you make me quit everything and do something, it's going to be disc golf. I'm going to get an RV. I'm going to start training disc golf. I'm going to travel around America doing disc golf.
All right. Don't quit then, dude. Just do what you want. From at some point today, is Chimizo even going to Worlds? Not to body shame, but he doesn't look like he is on IG.
What? Oh, we are on IG.
I looked
now.
On his IG.
I get a picture of it.
I mean,
he's not a guy. Super lean at 74, anyways.
Exactly. He's always got a little puff to him. But
well, not to defend myself, but here's how I think about it. My lean weight. If I was really lean, like I had to be really lean to make 74 kilograms. Okay. So in fighting, I never, ever would have made 155. Impossible. I couldn't see myself getting lower than 163. So at 171, right, because you get a pound allowance, I could be a little heavier. I didn't have to be super lean, you know? And mm-hmm. So Chimizo obviously has stated many times he's an Olympic weight wrestler. He does not want to wrestle 70. So I'm sure if Chimizo got super lean, he could make 70. But he doesn't want to wrestle that weight class. He knows he can't make 65. Those days are long gone. So at 74, he's going to be a little puffier, but that's where he's going to wrestle. So whatever.
Yeah, I always think he looks like a fine size. Yeah, he's not the most – he doesn't look like Jordan out there, like super
shredded.
Yeah,
he's not super lean.
But he's very, very strong. I've never seen him show up like out of shape and gas. So now that's not to say that he's wrestling at Worlds. But I just wouldn't take Instagram physique as.
But he's never lean.
Well, he can look leaner than.
Okay. I haven't seen his Instagram. I my phone's not on me right now, so I don't know how to. Can you do Instagram on a desktop?
You can, in fact.
Frank Chimizo.
There he is. Instagram. Look right here.
Oh, we're on BMX. Okay, we got it.
Yeah. He looks skinny there.
There, give me a picture with his shirt off so we can judge.
The other one. There he's shirtless.
Okay, he's looking a little puffy there. He's
a little puff daddy. Puffy. That's okay.
Let's go another one. See how puffy he's looking. Oh, now we're going to log in.
Okay. We're working on it. Yeah, I think he looks all right.
I think he is going to Worlds, though.
Yeah, maybe not.
He wasn't in the entries list, and he hasn't, posted about going to Worlds or anything.
Yeah, and he's good at keeping his fans up to speed.
It doesn't look like there's any other pictures with his shirt off besides the one that you guys showed.
His current most recent Instagram story is him holding a giant cigar.
Stories.
That's probably not indicating a guy ready to wrestle at the World Championships. I don't think
Russians used to smoke cigarettes out back and come bring the heat.
Yeah.
Literal heat. Okay, next question. From Actual Cannibal, is Imar getting the training he needs in Oregon to remain competitive on the senior level? Does he need to go to one of the big-name RTCs? Would Stanford RTC be a good or plausible solution? When I think about this, I think he can be as good as he wants to be at Oregon State, in my opinion. Thinking about at Illinois, who's like the super-duper training partner that he had there? Like, there wasn't some other world-level guy. There were good college wrestlers around him and good coaches, and I think he has enough of that to be really good. So I don't think that'll be what holds him back. I think Chris Pendleton has showed he can really develop guys, and so I don't think it's that. I think it's something else.
Yeah, it's going to be his desire. I mean, at some point, I can tell you guys this, I wanted to coach, right? I wanted to go do something else. I didn't want to be a competitive wrestler anymore. And there's obviously factors in that, but maybe that's where he is in his life. You know, not everyone wants to wrestle forever. We saw a guy like Mark Perry, for example, who didn't want to competitively wrestle at all anymore. He just went and coached, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't know if Imar's getting to that point or not, but it wouldn't surprise me. He seems really into coaching.
Yes.
From PD3 Dumpster Fire, do Americans overtrain and or overcompete? Many agree this was the best summer ever. Many wrestlers were forced to take time off and train less due to the pandemic. Almost everybody wrestled fewer matches in a normal season, especially NCAA athletes. Correlation? Ben, I'm curious for your answer on this.
I actually think no. I've been on the senior level, I've been one that said we wrestled too few matches. And obviously, geographically, it's hard because all those guys in Europe, they have all those competitive matches because there's a lot of wrestlers in a lot of countries. And for us to go compete with those guys, we have to travel, you know, 8 hours by plane or whatever. So I actually think internationally, we need to get some more matches rather than fewer. Training situation wise, maybe guys took a month or two off, but I think a lot of the best guys, you know, once April and May hit and they realized that maybe the whole world wasn't going to die last year in 2020, that I'm pretty sure they were all back training with each other, you know, maybe in very private settings because of the public perception of their training. So no, I think we train fine. I think the training has changed a lot in the last 10 to 15 years mm-hmm. in a very positive fashion. And our best guys are competing with the best guys in the world. So I think we're in a good place.
Yeah, I really don't think it's that. I don't think we were the benefit of you know, outside factors modifying our training. I think we're just training better as a nation right yes. now. And
yes.
looking at our guys, the Dakes, Taylor, Snyder, Gilman's, you know, that's
yes.
they train right, and that's a big part of it. And I think the guys that are on the team now, I think we're gonna have 10 guys that I don't know. I think the days of just grinding yourself to the bone and then thinking you're going to yes. win matches where guys are, that's more and more becoming going the way of the dodo. Yeah, it's just
the
not
dodo. The what dodo. A reference.
They're extinct. So I don't think it's that. I do think this happens sometimes with certain wrestlers where they'll have an injury at like the perfect time and have a month off, and then they just come back towards the end of the season. You'll see it in college sometimes, and yeah, then boom,
right.
And you'll see that. And I think.
Well,
I don't know if it's overtraining or what you would yeah. call it, but the collegiate season.
That's what changes. I was saying. College guys are more likely to overtrain than senior level guys are.
Yes, overtrain, overcompete, over something, or just. You know,
it's just that you there's that youthful exuberance and maybe. Maybe almost, I don't know, stupidity is the right word, but where some of the young guys just love to freaking grind and grind and grind. And by now we're talking about the senior level guys, by the time they've got that age, like I think Gilman probably was that guy 5 years ago and now he's different. I think Kyle Snyder probably was, and now he's changed his thought process. Right. So I think some of these younger guys, in college, they're more likely to do that. And by the time they get to senior level, they've matured and they realize probably what's best for their body. And then also, if they're that good, they're thinking about longevity also, right? Not only how do I do great this year, but how do I make my career? You know, Kyle Snyder says that he wants to go to 2028. So what's the best for my career to go all the way to 2028? What do I got to do? That type of thing.
Right. Completely agree. Next question. What is the best WNO match ever? It's a good question.
I think it's obvious.
I don't I know what you're going to say.
It's Suriano Fix. It's a legendary thing. We'll never have anything like it again. It's the number one. Don't even argue. Shut your mouth.
Okay. Well, I guess I won't.
It would have been better if it ended.
Don't even think about it, JD.
In regulation.
Well, if it was just a regular, so time, if that was just points. A regular match with a regular overtime, it would not obviously would not be the greatest of all time. We really wouldn't remember it, but because of what was happening at that time, it was epic. 34 minutes, 32 minutes, something to that effect. That. It was something so awesome.
Yeah. It was
okay, wild. So with that, let's take that one out. What's the next best?
What, JD?
I was just saying, a reminder, we have the new college overtime rules for yes. the boys at who's number one.
Ooh, you'll nice. See the NCAA debut of the new rules on who's number one. I thought Pletcher Red was really, really good. I thought that was an awesome match with some amazing scrambles. The Heinzelman McHenry moment of that late takedown for Kurt was really, really good.
You know what moment I thought was maybe not the best match, but just an electric moment was when Sasso pinned in front of the home crowd, you know? That was pretty electric.
Was that Artelona he pinned?
Artelona. He pinned Artelona. In front of the home crowd. That was awesome.
That was bananas. I'll always remember when Kennedy beat Facundo because Carver was going insane for their guy when Kennedy won. That was a great match. Quite a few good ones.
You guys should do maybe next year start doing like a top 10 ever who's number ones at some point. That'd be really cool to look back at all of those.
Yes.
We have agree. On the website, I do believe, this year.
Oh, you have done that? There we go. I'll look it up. Top 10 who's number one.
I don't know if we ranked them, but I think there's just like a collection with a handful of the best.
We got to
rank
them.
Top 10 pound for pound showdown. Yeah, I think right. Block party. Top 10 who's number one matches. This is from 2019, this article. We count down the top 10 matches in who's number one history.
So the question from Jason Bame, who ended up having the most success post having been at who's number one? I think this one's pretty obvious so far.
Who?
Gable Dan.
Oh, yeah, Gable Dan.
Gable Dan Stevenson. By the way, you can get this shirt. I ordered it quite a few weeks ago from Barstool. The Gable Stevenson shirt.
Dropped a link in the chat for everybody.
He dropped the Facebook. JD's chat. Dropping links.
That's pretty crazy that he got 2 takedowns in 11 seconds.
He did. That really happened.
It really happened.
It was insane. Go Gable. Support Gable. I'm happy to, even though I had to wait for the shirt. It's worth the wait. Okay. Let me see if there's any other questions before we get the heck out of here and have a nice
Who's
weekend.
Who's number one this weekend?
Who's number
AWA
one?
Duels, baby.
Let's go. How many teams are you guys sending? You got like nine clubs.
We have 5 teams this weekend, 16 total teams in the event. Someone dropped out this week. We were going to have 4, and someone dropped out this week, so we put a 5th team together.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's do one more question. We've lost a generational talent in Gable. We have a generational talent in Spencer Lee on the bench with no ACLs. These are guys who were supposed to take over the next generation of USA Wrestling. You see anyone coming to keep this current momentum going? Our guys are aging.
Guys are aging, Christian, but I think we have another cycle out of this specific team, and that's not saying none of them are going to get beat, but if we look at because Kyle Dake, Jordan Burroughs, David Taylor, Jaden Cox, Kyle Snyder, Gwizdowski, those 6, and really let's go James Green too, because they've been longstanding members of the team. You know, all of them have made probably what's at least 4 teams is the least they've made. I think they're all going until 2024. Jordan would obviously be the oldest of that group, but I think they're all going to continue to have success till 2024. Maybe, you know, someone comes up and beats one of them, but they're all going to be really competitive at the world level.
Thinking about aging, something we all do.
Yes.
Who of the elite USA wrestlers we've had over the last 10, 15 years, have you seen this guy was really, really good, and then he falls off because of likely age? Like, how much has that actually happened?
Well, the issue in my era was very few people competed that long because no one was making any money. We're all broke as shits, and we didn't want to do it for that long. Yeah. I mean, that's real talk. So we barely saw anyone age. So David's 30. So he'll be 33 at the next Olympics. That's getting – I mean, I feel like he's going to be really competitive there. Gwizdowski's not that old, is he?
Not super old. I mean, heavyweight's a good
– He's 28.
To be old in, I think.
Yep, exactly. Jaden Cox is only 25. Kyle Snyder is 26. I mean, yeah, these guys, they're going to be fine for another quad.
Yeah, I agree. And if you say, hey, where's the next crop? Well, Spencer, obviously. Spencer, Dayton are the same crop, essentially.
Well, and Vito, and there's Vito's in there, too. I mean, Vito's getting a lot better. He just made the trials finals. Yanni's obviously younger. He's a next type of guy.
Jesse Mendez, for sure.
But now we're going to see, like, a Keegan O'Toole is going to be maybe the one that's – because now, you know, if we're looking at it like this, is a lot of the guys that we're talking about right now, we're making the teams at 23, 24, 25. When Keegan wrestles in the Olympic trials in 2024, he will be 23 years old. I mean, that is the time when you want to start having success. Kyle Dake will be 30-ish somewhere. And so, you know, that's the kind of crop we're looking at right now.
Yes. Yeah,
Rocky,
I think
Elam, Ferrari, Braxton, and those guys.
Braxton for sure.
Yeah.
Kirk Fleet, Mason are a younger crop, and there's heavyweights behind them, but they're a little further behind. So I'm curious. Is this just going to be a man? We were just lucky to watch Dake, Snyder, Burroughs, Jaden. David Taylor all wrestle at the same time, and we'll never have something like that again, or at least for a couple of generations. Or are we just going to continuously like?
I think we can keep pumping them out as a country.
All right, well let's do it. I mean, the next generation. I mean, look at Carr Starace, what he just did. Look at what I mean. Yeah. We think Aaron Brooks, Zahid Valencia, even someone like Trent Hydley, pretty young and having real success. So I think we're going to be good.
I think with our ability now, I mean, one of the things we might see happen, and I talked about with Keegan is, and listen, I hope he beats Kyle Dake or whomever he needs to beat at 74. But one of the things we might see with other guys sticking around longer is it takes them a while to get on the team, right? Because there's so many good guys in front of them. So maybe, you know, and like this happened to David Taylor. David Taylor didn't get on the team till
and Kyle
2026 or so, right? Mm-hmm. And now he's having, so maybe we see that where some of these guys, they're not getting on the team till 26. So they're precluded from having the longevity that a Jordan Burroughs or Jaden Cox had because they were both on the team at like 21 or 22. But they're still going to have that then 3 to 5 years of really good wrestling. And then the next guy will come in.
Awesome. Well, fun topic to end on. We're going to get the heck out of here. JD, have a ball at who's number one. We'll be tuning into the press conference and the action tomorrow and Saturday. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back Tuesday talking who's number one and all kinds of news, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
Thanks again for tuning in. Check out the AWA duels. Ben has 5 teams. It's a lot. That increases your probability of winning. I think we'll talk about a championship trophy. Stack the deck, Ben. Do what you got to do. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Have a great weekend. See you Tuesday. Goodbye.